Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tangwall. Landon, happy draft day week.
Jim, I'm excited. It's going to be a fun one. We have a lot of Penn Staters going. Hopefully Penn Staters going early. Have the opportunity, I think, two guys to go in the first round with Olu and Chop. I think I might be making my way down to Maryland for Olu's party, draft party on Thursday night. Should be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it. And Nittany Nation should be excited for our guys. These are guys that came in, put the time and effort in. Now they get to, you know, bask in it. And it's a really cool experience. If anybody got to see Chop Robinson on Hey Rookie, Welcome to the NFL, I suggest go check it out. It's great. They get him at the combine calling his dad after he runs the top 40 time. He runs a 4.49, and he's on the phone with his pops and has kind of an emotional moment with him where he's crying. And it is really, really cool to see. So I suggest you go check that out on Twitter and YouTube. It's out over there. But really excited for our guys. Life-changing opportunity, and it's really cool to see.
Very cool. Love that kind of stuff. All right, before we get started getting into the draft stuff, just a reminder that we at Keystone Sports, we've teamed up with F45 Training and State College, and we're offering our listeners a great deal. F45, by the way, offers the benefits of one-on-one training in a group environment, and through the end of the month, F45 State College, they're offering a two-week free trial to Keystone Sports Network listeners. Your two-week trial begins with your first class. So if you take that first class April 30th, you get 2 weeks from that point. But you got to get that first class in by the end of the month. F45 State College, they're conveniently located right downtown. And they also have, Landon, and I think this is really cool, they have this in-body scanner. You step on it like you do a scale. And by the way, this is part of your two-week trial. It will analyze your body. Now, a lot of us, we hear about like body mass index. It gives you the number, but it doesn't differentiate between fat and muscle. This device actually does. And not only that, it will isolate. It'll tell you this is for your arms, your legs, your trunk. It's absolutely fantastic. And what's really great about it is how it will then track your progress as you work out. If you want any more information, you can call 814-826-4045. And Landon, we were talking about this earlier. It's probably best that Jim does not step on that in-body scanner.
Jim, we're gonna have to do a live show from F45, and we're going to put you on the scanner. And we're going to bring the video camera out. We're going to get it all on there. And then I'm going to also catch you. I was talking about this earlier. F45 is right down the street from Cane's, Raising Cane's. We're going to catch Jim sneaking over for a couple chicken strips and some bread right after his workout. So I got to keep a close eye on him when we finish these workouts over at F45, making sure he's not sneaking off.
I want to tell you how wrong you are, Landon, okay? I wouldn't just be heading over for the chicken strips and bread. I'll also be getting the fries, too, okay?
So, Jim,
get it correct.
I can't believe I put that doubt in you. I can't believe it.
Let's move on. That's not a good topic for Jim. But, again, check out F45. And if you have any more questions, you could call there at 814-826-4045. All right, Landon, we are going to talk about the draft today. But before we get there, let's talk about some other news that's coming out from the NCAA. We know they confirmed the rules about the headset communication, having the tablets on the sideline. But they also talked about being able to bring essentially the tasks of the collective in-house later in the year, like starting in August. That's a significant change, Landon, to the NIL landscape. And not one that many people are talking about.
Yeah, Jim, it is. It's really interesting. And I came across it on Twitter, and it just had a couple likes on it. And I didn't see much of anybody talking about it, which I thought was really interesting. But NCAA comes down with a ruling on Wednesday basically saying that, hey, it is still prohibited to exchange money directly from university to the player. that is still illegal from a standpoint of NCAA wide. Now there is state legislature that allows colleges to do that. So there's some colleges like I believe the state out in Kansas, they're allowed to do that. And it was just passed yesterday or 2 days ago in the state of Virginia. It is now legal. It's fully legal for universities to directly pay players. So people call it pay for play. So it's becoming legal in states. Now it's still illegal as far as the NCAA is concerned nationwide, but that is something to keep an eye on because I think that is going to come soon here for the state of Pennsylvania. Still illegal for to have that direct payment. So there's no direct deposits from the University of Penn State to these players for anything NIL related, but I do think that is coming shortly. Now, talking about this other ruling that also came out on Wednesday, the NCAA came out and they say, hey, you can now, as a university, facilitate all these deals. So if you want to go to, if you're at Penn State and our Penn State, NIL football team, they can go to Blaze Alexander. They can go downtown and talk to these companies and say, hey, we got these guys. We want them to come perform, do a signing, whatever it may be, do a media deal. Before, this was fully prohibited. You could not negotiate on the behalf of an athlete if you are part of the university, if you're a part of Penn State. Well, now you can go out and you can secure any type of deal. You can negotiate the money for the athlete, all of that. But now you just cannot get that money and then fund it to the athletes, because that's kind of how these third-party collectives work. What they did was they would have the athletes, we'll stay with Blaze Alexander, the car dealership. They would say, hey, Happy Valley United, we want three guys to come to this event, and we'll pay them, let's say, $2,000 a piece, so $6,000 for three guys. And so they come, do the event, it's great. They send Happy Valley United the $6,000. Happy Valley United then redirects that money from their bank account then down to the players. And there's also those monthly stipends that you get no matter what. So right there, I'm talking about, a deal that a player kind of gets on his own, where at Penn State, everybody has a monthly NIL stipend. And then you can kind of get those deals on the side, whether it's with Blaze Alexander or somebody downtown, that type of thing. So the collectives, what they had to do was find things for the athletes to, essentially engage in for work, because, it's a business. You still just can't pay someone for nothing. So these collectives are having to do deals with other companies or, for example, they paired up with Quarterback Club. If you saw this past weekend, or now it's Sunday, but on Friday and Saturday, you saw a lot of guys tweeting out, thanks Happy Valley United and thanks Quarterback Club for getting my family here for the weekend, for Blue and White weekend. Well, that's kind of their deliverable, they call it, to get their payment each month. They need to do something, whether it's a social media post, whether that's, it's at engagement in person, a signing, something like that. So you had to do something to get the money with the collective. I am now curious. So now it is negotiated between university and the business and the player. I don't see, Jim, a place for these NIL third-party collectives anymore. I think that's just it's just messy. And you take them out of the equation, it's a lot easier for these universities to not have to have these non-university employees handling all this money and essentially counting on a whole nother group of people to fundraise and make sure all the players get paid. Because I've seen it, I've heard around college football, around the nation, where these NIL collectives are essentially scamming guys, not paying the full amounts. There are not binding contracts being signed. It's a lot of handshake deals. Hey, we'll pay you $300,000. Shake your hand and then you come here. Well, I don't really need to pay you $300,000. And especially if you don't perform, you're probably not seeing all of that money. So I think when you bring this into, university, it's going to make it a little bit easier. Now, like we said, it is still prohibited as far as nationwide, as far as NCAA wide, to have athletes directly paid by the university. So I think they need to figure that out. I don't know if it's now going to be more of a, hey, when we have an athlete, we set up an athlete do something with Blaze Alexander. Instead of having Blaze Alexander pay Happy Valley United, who then pays the players, I think the university is just going to say, hey, we're going to set this up so the money is a direct deposit from Blaze Alexander's bank account right into the player's bank account. Because like I said, it cannot touch the university and then go to the players. That is still against the rules NCAA-wide. But like I said, just got overruled in Virginia and many other states where it is legal now to pay players directly from the universities. So I do think that's coming soon to Penn State. And honestly, this could happen before August 1st, where PA lawmakers give the okay for Penn State to bring it all the way in-house, meaning that they can also pay the players. So I will say I do expect that to happen before August 1st, if I'm being honest with you. And I think we'll see that happen in a lot more states. But as of right now, it's a big step forward for these universities, for a university like Penn State that has kind of been struggling a little bit. They can now use those university connections and relationships. They still can't use that university funding yet, Jim, that some other places can, where they can tap into university funds to pay the players. That is still not something they're able to do, but I think that's coming in the near future. But I'm excited to see how this shapes out. It should be interesting, and Pat Kraft and James Franklin definitely need to have a plan in place for how this goes and be ready for this to fully come in house, because that is where we are headed. It might not be there yet, but I think by the time we're playing West Virginia week one, I think it's going to be fully in house. And we need to be ready and have a plan and have that funding ready to get guys out of the transfer portal, secure those guys, make sure that no one's leaving. You kind of seen that from Happy Valley United and state media doing the whole retain the roar, where they had some players and coaches going on and saying, hey, help us win a national championship. We need some money to kind of retain all these guys. I think you're going to see the ability to do that a lot more easily when you are able to tap into university funds. So I think there is definitely a push from Penn State, from PA lawmakers, to say, hey, let's bring this in-house so our guys can compete even better and give them more money and more ability to have those elite guys.
All right, that's going to have to be it for quarter one, but we're not done with this conversation. We'll pick it up in quarter number two.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th, and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon Tangwall. I'm Jim Galante. We are going to hit on the draft yet today. We haven't gotten there yet. We've been talking about some of the NCAA rulings with NIL. It's not going to go away. But before we get going again in segment number two, want to let you know that this week on Wednesday, that's April 24th, we're going to be doing another one of our live shows from Cafe 210 in downtown State College. We call the series Winning Ways, and we highlight one of the women's programs at Penn State. We previously highlighted the basketball program and the softball programs. We had coaches in, players in. They were a lot of fun, Landon, and we're going to be doing it again, this time with women's lacrosse. We are doing this in association with Teammates for Life. That's the group that's led by Char Moret Curtis. She's the legendary field hockey coach at Penn State. Her record was phenomenal with field hockey, but she's not done giving back to the university. So she created this group called Teammates for Life. They are just such a great advocate for Penn State women's athletics. So that's this Wednesday at the cafe downtown. We'll get started up around 5:30. Landon will be there. Kendall Skalicki will be there. I know, you've had a good time with these, getting to interview fellow student athletes.
Jim, I've made some really cool connections, I'll tell you what. And especially after doing the softball team, I've actually been to two softball games now. I stopped by, you and me went, and then I stopped by another time on my own. Maybe for those dollar dogs too. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it's a little enticing to get. And you saw me when Jim was waiting for me at the game. I saw him just sitting down by third base. I went over and got me a couple hot dogs. I had two of them. And he said, I came down. He said, is one of those for me? I said, Jim, no, you got to go get your own dog, man. I'm killing both of these. And then I pulled out some peanut M&Ms out of my pocket too. So, you know, when I go to the ball game, Jim, you know how I get down. But no, these events really are cool. I hope anybody listening can make it out Wednesday. It's really fun. And the event goes for about an hour. I will tell you, I was there, I think, last time at Cafe 210 until 10 p.m. We were migrating slowly outside, and I was continuing to talk with former Letterman, a bunch of cool Penn State guys. Al DeLevy was there. We talked forever. It was a really good time. If you just want to come, hang out, have some good drinks. I think Jim's doing shots and doing keg stands on the bar. So you can I'll lift him up. It'll be a good time. We'll have Cafe 210 bumping, guys. Everybody come out. It'll be a fun time.
It is a lot of fun. You're going to get me in trouble. I'm at least trying. When you talk about me, you talk about the food. And you're the guy getting multiple hot dogs. But I'm with you. I love basketball, love softball. So talking to the coaches, Coach Keeger, Coach Crowley, just wonderful. And this softball team is really good, by the way. If you get a chance to go out and see them, they are a lot of fun. Meanwhile, the lacrosse team, they've been knocking off top-ranked teams, so I'm really interested in talking to Missy Daugherty, the coach of the lacrosse team. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So like I said, I'll be there, Land will be there, Kendall Skalicki will be there. So we're going to have the whole Keystone Sports Network team there, and it's a lot of fun. So that's, again, Wednesday night at the cafe. Please join us. All right, Landon. We're getting off track here. I want to get back to this NIL conversation. And first of all, the model with the collectives, I'm not sure the NCAA were the ones who said, oh, let's do this through collectives, or if that just sort of happened organically. And nationwide, you ran into a lot of different issues. You saw some of the issues with Tennessee, for example, where the NCAA said they were violating rules. And these aren't even the Tennessee employees. It's a third party. I think that's part of wanting to bring it in-house, is to have some regulation over it. But you alluded to this, Landon. This can't be anything other than just an intermediary step to getting to the point where the universities are paying the student athletes directly.
Yeah, I don't see any other route that this is going. I think with this ruling, you know, still saying, hey, you're not fully allowed to have direct payment from university to player. It's like, okay, sure. You know, I think that is, like I said, I think most of these states over the summer, like we just saw with Virginia on Wednesday, are going to come through with rulings saying no, universities can absolutely pay players. So I don't know if the NCAA is just going to wait and let this be a state-by-state case, but it's pretty much being unanimously passed anytime it's brought up in any state courtroom right now. So I don't think that we are too far behind with that in PA. So, you know, like I said, I think it becomes a lot easier once this happens, and it'll kind of evening out the playing field a little bit. And I was on Twitter the other day. I had some interaction with the fans tweeting about Ohio State, saying that they spent over $34 million to piece together this coaching staff and football team for this 2024 season. And I'm like, man, how do we bridge the gap? How can we bridge this gap? Because we are not spending anywhere near that amount. Obviously, now I think that $34 million includes Ryan Day's and some of the coaching salaries, but that is a lot of money, Jim. I mean, that's $34 million is not anything to bat your eyes at. So I think coming in-house and bringing this in-house allows Penn State to bridge that gap. And that was something that I asked. How do we even this out with Ohio State? I mean, we've seen the guys that they have brought in, Judkins from Ole Miss, now pairing Travion Henderson with Judkins. I mean, they have insane talent. Young Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver looks like he's going to be – looks like we have to continue to deal with star wide receivers coming out of Ohio State, Jim. We cannot escape it. Now, hopefully their quarterback is kind of on par with Kyle McCord's last year's performance. I think that'll give us a little bit of a better chance. But hey, these guys, they're going to have the cream of the crop. And it's because of the money they're able to provide. So I think when we're able to kind of get on that same wavelength of, hey, we got money to offer too, it's going to even it out, and we'll start to get more of those elite five-star guys, get some big names in the transfer portal. But look, it's on this Penn State NIL team to fundraise, to get this money, to get money secured for these guys, because we are now, and as much as fans hate it, and I've seen it, we are now in a pay-for-play state of college football, where if you don't want to get involved with it, and I've seen some fans say that, I'm staying away from it, I don't care, we should just ignore it. I've seen that take. We're Penn State. We should just ignore it. We are, class standard. It is about academics. I'm sorry. You can say that all you want, but if we go that route, you will find our team quickly becoming a 500 and below 500 team if you decide to ignore NIL. That is the simple reality of it. So it is here to stay. You need to embrace it. That is not me saying that fans need to be paying money. I don't agree with that at all. I do not think it is on the fans to be funding our athletes. This is on the universities to go out. And like I said, it's still illegal to directly do that payment between your university and player, but it's on the universities to go out, find these billion-dollar donors that you have relationships with, and find a way for them to directly just pay the players, obviously not through the university, but whatever these big-time donors, if they have a company, a business that a player can do some work for, do a post for, whatever it may be, it's time. It's on Penn State. And I think that's the big takeaway from this ruling is there's no excuses now. We have that alumni network. Penn State has those relationships with these billion-dollar donors. Jim, it is time to pony up, and we need to make some serious money to bring in more guys to help us be contenders. And, it is honestly more competitive now than ever with this 12-team playoff. You have the opportunity every year now if you're Penn State, and I think I mentioned this before, I saw someone put out on Twitter, if we would have had this 12-team playoff format since 2014, since the new college football format came into play, Penn State would have been the biggest beneficiary of that format. So meaning that we ended 8, 11, 10, 9, many of years missing out on that 4-game playoff, but also would have been in if it was the 12-team playoff. So it's obviously these are all good rulings that are happening for Penn State. This is all positive for Penn State, but now it's time. They have to get this money. They have to fundraise, and they have to get this money to allow this team to compete in this environment.
Well, a couple things, and I'll offer this up from the fan perspective, is when the fans hear this, hey, we're not going to win without you giving more money, where the fan pushback to it is, it's, hey, wait a minute, I'm already spending a lot of money on tickets, travel to get there, hotels. I'm already giving to the athletic department. I'm giving maybe to my school of engineering, to the university. Now you're in line asking me for more money when you're making millions upon millions of dollars already from television revenue, ticket revenue. So I think that's part of the pushback from the fans. And I realize that's a little different from large companies and owners of those large companies wanting to give back and hopefully help their team win, because that is part of it. The other part is, You mentioned Ohio State, and in this particular year, they brought in so many guys through the portal. They spent a lot of money to do that. It gives the impression, well, that must be happening everywhere else. But if you go and look into other schools and the conversations, a lot of them are similar to the conversation that's going on at Penn State. Everyone thinks that somebody else is giving more money, and the couple schools that stand out giving all... I use Texas A&M as an example. They were probably the first ones who really went all in and spent all the money, Landon. And where did it get them?
Nothing good. It set them back. And I think it also made donors kind of weary of helping out again. So this is something that I said on Twitter too. With this and with the donors, you have to strike. But you need to strike at the right time. If you strike at the wrong time and you fail and you ask these donors for a huge donation and you have a 6-7 win season, they are not going to want to come back and do that again. Cause if I'm a donor, I'm not paying for that. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how James Franklin, how Pat Kraft go about this. How do they sculpt this new NIL landscape out?
It will, Landon. Unfortunately, we're out of time for quarter number two. Come back. We got lots more to go with quarter number three.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Landon, we spent the first half of the show talking NIL, and I'm sure there's some listeners out there saying, please, I've had my fill of NIL. Can we please move on? All right, let's move on. Unfortunately, I know we're going to have more conversations through the offseason about NIL because that's a story that is just not going to end. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, this is draft week, and it is a fun week. I'm not a huge NFL guy. I do watch it. I don't watch it the same way I do Penn State, and I'm an Eagles fan. But there's something about the draft. I look at every one of these mock drafts I could get my hands on, Landon. Come draft week, the actual draft, I'm like all over it watching it. You were the one who had the plan. It's a great chicken wing night. I could advocate for also.
I've been doing that since I was little. I always enjoy draft night. It's a fun one. I am a diehard Steelers fan. Also, I meant to tell you this off air, but I'll share with everybody. I had since I've been putting everything out and really started to get my media going on Twitter and YouTube, I had a big-time Steelers podcast reach out to me and ask if I wanted to come on and give some of my expertise on the Steelers draft and the Steelers team. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm diehard, man. I think we're going in the right direction. We got rid of Kenny Pickett. I was a big fan of that. I think we got him because he was in the facility being at Pitt for 4 or 5 years. Steelers are moving in the right direction. So I'll put that out, though. If anybody's a diehard Steelers fan, I'm going to be talking some Steelers ball here shortly. But getting into some of our guys coming up this week, I'm excited. And what I have pulled up right now is ESPN's best available prospects. So they kind of rank everybody. And, you know, this doesn't mean they're necessarily going to go in this position because teams have needs. And, you know, sometimes teams take by best available or they take the position that they need. So this isn't, you know, necessarily where they're going to go in the draft. And I think this is Todd McShay, longtime ESPN draft dude. So you know how those guys are, Mel Kiper and those dudes. They're either loved or they're hated. A lot of people hate them, but this we'll kind of go down the list real quick of our eligible guys. First up, Olu Fashanu. They have him at spot 17. By the way, this came out on April 16th, this list from ESPN. That is the newest updated. They have Olu at the 17th best player. That's down three spots from the previous list. There has been a little bit of a fall for Olu Fashanu here, where it was more, he is absolute lock, top 10, maybe him over Joe Alt from Notre Dame. Well, for some reason, I don't exactly know why. I don't know if the scouts dug into the tape a little bit more, but Olu has kind of dropped into that, you know, early teen, mid-teen, 15, around the pick 15. That's kind of where you're starting to see his name in a lot of these mock drafts, which, you know, I think is interesting. The talk of Olu is that there is a ton of upside, and his ceiling is the highest out of any tackle in this draft, but he is a little bit rawer than some of these other tackles and guards that are looking to go early. So, there's nothing that they could have found or been unimpressed with in the interviews and the other stuff with Olu, because he is one of the smartest dudes I've ever been around. Supply chain management degree, which I promise this dude Olu would finish practice and say, hey, I have 3 hours of homework to go do. I'll see you guys later. Jim, with my broadcast journalism degree, I said, oh, okay, I'm going home and I'm playing some Madden tonight. So look, you enjoy that. I'm going to go home and chill out. But Olu at 17 on ESPN's ranking, I look for him to go 11, 12. I think the Jets and the Giants are right there around like 9, 10, 11. I don't remember exactly, but they both need help at tackle. I see Olu probably sliding in there around 10, 11, 12. Moving on, Chop Robinson. The ESPN currently has him at 25. He was previously in the last ranking at 26, so he moved up one spot since the ranking before this. Chop Robinson is someone that has started to climb a little bit. It wasn't really certain that he was going to be a first-round draft pick, and as he did his 40 time, was at the combine, teams have really started to look at his tape. I think they are just blown away by his ability, by his pure athletic ability, Jim. We saw Odafe Oye go in the first round a couple years ago with the Ravens with a really just a lack of stats, really not too many sacks to show for it. But the Ravens and other NFL teams said, hey, we don't really care too much about that. This guy is a specimen, and we're gonna shape him and make him produce here for us in the NFL. I think that's, you know, Chop had good production. But when you watch Chop, and if you want to go on my Twitter at Landon Tangwall, I actually just posted a clip last night, talking Friday night, of Chop Robinson's get off. It was a clip against Michigan State where it is jaw dropping how this guy gets off the ball. So I think when you see that as a GM, you know, Jim, what do you think? You're going against Patrick Mahomes. It's all about these fourth quarter drives against Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. You know what you need? You need a DN that can get after them and disrupt it and not let them sit back there and dice you up. I want Chop Robinson. That is a pass rush specialist. He is going to bend the edge and can wreak havoc on these quarterbacks in the NFL.
I want to kick in there because it's interesting you brought up Oye, and I remember his final year at Penn State. I don't believe he had any sacks, and that was the number that people were using. And I was just like, I watched every single game. That is not a fair assessment of this guy if you watch the games. And now I'm hearing similar things with a Chop Robinson, that he doesn't quite have the numbers that some other people have. You're not watching the games then. As someone who has watched him play, and no, I have not watched every other edge guy in college football, but I have watched Chop Robinson in every down at Penn State. He's pretty special. So I'm with you on both those guys.
Yeah, and I said Chop Robinson, he's a guaranteed first rounder. That's how I feel. I think someone is taking him in the first round because of that burst, because of that ability to bend. He can put his body in positions that other people just physically cannot. So I'm excited for Chop, another longtime friend of mine. He is going to get what he deserves. Excited for him. Curtis Jacobs coming in at the 84th slot on the ESPN's best available prospects ranking. He is up. That's up 18 spots for him. So it looks like Curtis is climbing a little bit. I have seen stuff on Twitter. People were really impressed with his Senior Bowl tape. He's really physical and kind of just always around and makes a play. It just felt like Curtis Jacobs was always making a play for us, similar to how Zakee Wheatley is kind of just always around the ball. It felt like that was Curtis Jacobs. Maybe not as much this past year, but you know, in the past years, always just making a play, making a splash play, helping the team out. I think teams are really excited about him. He has been a dominant linebacker really since he stepped on campus here at Penn State, and someone that you never had doubt about that he was going to be in the right position at the right time. And if people that remember 2021 freshman, my freshman year, we played Michigan at home and we ran that. Remember that fake punt that Jordan Stout? I mean, Curtis Jacobs was covered. He was blanketed, and Jordan Stout put it up top, and Curtis Jacobs went up like a wide receiver and took it off the Michigan player's dome. So you also have Curtis Jacobs from a standpoint of a special teams guy that, you know, he's going to do it all. He can help your team out and play all different positions. So I think Curtis Jacobs is going to continue to climb up these boards, and I'm really excited. Once again, a guy that I've been playing since I was 14, 15 years old, longtime friend, really excited for these guys. But Curtis Jacobs is climbing up the ranks. We got Adisa Isaac here at 89. He dropped 32 spots. I don't know if that is because of something, you know, tested well, has great tape, is really strong in the run, in run defense. Obviously not the pass rusher that Chop Robinson or the cat out of UCLA, I think two something, I forget his name, but a really good guy out there. So he's not them. So I think that might be why we see him drop a little bit. He's a little bit more of a run stuffing DN, but has fantastic hands and had a quietly a really fantastic last year here at Penn State in 2023. Not exactly sure the reason for the drop. There might be other defensive ends that are kind of bumping up and other guys that are just making strides, leaving him to fall. But, you know, should be someone that is going to be a big-time player and a big-time contributor as a rookie.
Before you move on, let me interrupt there because I find this really interesting with the draft. You talked about using ESPN's ranking. I use from The Athletic, and I think it's Dana Brugler is the guy who does who's their draft guru. Just for example, you mentioned Curtis Jacobs. ESPN had him at 84. The Athletic has him at 207.
Yeah, okay. I mean, there's some disparity there. Wow.
Adisa Isaac at 89 and dropping. The Athletic has him at number 67. Okay. So it's really fascinating to see these players in those middle rounds where round three versus round six for Curtis Jacobs. It's amazing the disparity. You know, these scouts, they're watching players from so many teams. We have the advantage of watching a player play every game and see what they have to offer. Think about having to do that for every team. Anyway, I just wanted to interrupt you to mention that disparity.
Yeah, those mid-round guys, once you get out of the first round, there is so much disparity between ESPN and The Athletic and NFL Network. You're going to find it all over the place. I just picked ESPN because it's, you know, that's who they are. They're known for being, you know, legit. But who knows where these guys could go? Although I will say, I think Adisa Isaac is going to find himself in the day two space as well as Curtis Jacobs. But number 90, right behind Adisa Isaac at 89, number 90 is Caden Wallace on ESPN's best available prospect list. And this dude has climbed up the ranks, had a fantastic season, only allowed one sack against some really elite edge rushers, came in, had a fantastic spring ball, played guard and tackle, showing those NFL teams, hey, I'm versatile. I can play multiple positions for you. I am really excited about his opportunity that, you know, he is someone that can, I think, be a longtime NFL veteran at a right tackle position where those elite edge rushers are lining up at right tackle now, Jim. They are going against, they're not lining up on the left tackles. They're saying, hey, TJ Watt, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, they're lining up over that right tackle. It's going to be important. I think a guy like Caden Wallace can start to develop even more and lock down those elite defensive ends.
All right, we're going to have to stop quarter three right there, but we got a lot more players to get to. We'll do that when we come back.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training in State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th, and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. Landon is going through his review of the Penn State players in the NFL draft. We talked about several of them already. We got several more to go, Landon. Fire it up.
Yes, sir. And I just want to be clear real quick with everybody and go back through just to give you a round idea of, I'm saying numbers 84, 89, just to give you an idea of where ESPN is thinking. So Olu and Chop, probably first round. Chop could maybe slide to early second round. Curtis Jacobs, Adisa Isaac, and Caden Wallace are all day two guys. And day two means round two or round three. Do I think one of them could slip into round four, which is day three? I think that's possible, but I see those guys as kind of the group that is almost certain to go in that day two, round two or three realm. Someone else that I think can make that jump into day two is Hunter Norzad. He is ranked at 113 on ESPN's best available prospects, but another guy that came back at Penn State for a sixth year, had a great year, led this offensive line as a sixth-year senior and was just the definition of a NFL veteran in a college locker room, doing all the right things, sitting in on coaching meetings, sitting there with the offensive coordinator, scheming up plays. You don't really see that. He is next level and is a very mature cat. So I think he had also a fantastic senior bowl at center. I've seen him on many list as far as most impressive guys that are jumping up the draft board, the biggest. Hunter Norzad has done a ton for himself, boosting himself in this offseason, in this pre-draft assessment. He has done a fantastic job. So someone else that could find himself in that round three, round four realm, but continues to climb up the draft boards. Now moving on, at 122, who is down 58 spots for ESPN. And Jim, you can give us the Athletics version, but Theo Johnson is at 122, which is around that round four or five mark. Go ahead.
The Athletic has him at 80, which again, watching him through, I think 80 is more appropriate for him. I have a little bit of the blue and white bias, but I think he belongs up there.
Jim, I think so too. I mean, you look how the NFL is now. They love these long, big tight ends that are 6'6". Theo is long, 6'6". He can block, and he can stretch defenses vertically. And you put Theo not only on the line, but a lot of these NFL teams are playing big body wide receivers, but these more slender, big tight ends in the slot. So you can have that mismatch against a small nickel cornerback. Think of, for example, Theo Johnson going against someone like Day-Day, Daquan Hardy, who obviously we know we love, and maybe we might even pick him to win that battle. But think about that mismatch of someone who's 5'9 and small versus, you know, Theo Johnson 6'6 in the slot, route running and using his body. He's very, I think that's very lucrative to some teams. I do think there's obviously some better tight ends, and we know Brock Bowers is going to go very high. And there's a couple other guys that are in that same range with Theo that I think NFL teams could go either way on. But that's an elite pass-catching tight end that is long. He can also block, which is a requirement in the NFL. You have to do that. So not exactly sure why ESPN has him dropping a ton. But I think Theo Johnson is another guy that could find his way into day two and sneak into round three if a team wants to get themselves a long tight end that can stretch the defense vertical in the passing game. Now, moving on to guys that are probably most likely going day three, we have Johnny Dixon at 211. What are we working with on The Athletic over there, Jim? Give you guys some perspective. 249. So, you know, definitely, I think a day three guy, but someone who came in, and I think a lot of people forget, coming from South Carolina, actually, as if he spent 1 year there, came to Penn State, didn't do a ton his second year, but then really started to turn it on the past 2 years here and had some fantastic games, was across from Kalen King, really locking guys down, and some people thought had a better season this past season than Kalen King. Johnny Dixon is putting himself in a good position, you know, not the most athletic or the fastest cornerback, but someone that can find his way onto a roster a little bit later in the draft. So definitely someone to keep an eye on, but excited for Johnny Dixon, who came here from South Carolina and has a really good career at Penn State. Moving on, Kalen King is at 245, Jim. He's the 245th best available prospect on ESPN's ranking.
Athletic has him at 209.
Okay, so, you know, it looks – and it's this one really hurts because Kalen King, I mean, Jim, last year, surefire first rounder. It was like this dude is locked down. He is going first round, maybe second. He needs to get out of here. And the hard part about it is if he was able to leave after his sophomore year, I think he would have been a first rounder, second rounder. He came back and just didn't have the season he wanted. I think there was a couple times that Marvin Harrison gave him some really big troubles, a couple of different receivers in some other big games gave him a little bit of run for his money. And I think scouts weren't as impressed. I think, you know, coming out of the season, it was more, okay, this guy's day two, maybe round three, and then comes out and has pretty much, you know, I hate to use this word, but it was pretty much an abysmal combine performance. I mean, bottom tier last in most of the categories of 40 and vertical. And I don't like to be negative. I mean, we want to prop these guys up. We love these guys. They're ours, but we have to be realistic that, you know, it did. His combine hurt him and his season really hurt his draft ranking. And you're seeing that. Now, saying all that to say, I do think a team is going to get an absolute steal in Kalen King late in the draft. If I have a free fifth, sixth round pick, I'm drafting him. I've seen his potential. I've seen what he can do in locking down some elite wide receivers. Now, he struggled with that. I don't know if that was a confidence issue or a technique issue. Is that, I don't know if the scouts are seeing something they don't really like in him. Obviously, we saw that speed kind of struggle at the combine. Doesn't have that top tier speed that you want in a quarterback, to stay up with a Jalen Waddle or a Tyreek Hill. But nonetheless, I think a very solid cornerback that has the ability to lock guys down. Can a team get that out of him? Last guy, we got Daquan Hardy, maybe our favorite guy on the show, Jim. He is down at 271. Which is down 34 spots from his previous ranking. Where does The Athletic have him at?
The Athletic doesn't have him getting drafted, but in the scouting report on him, they said potential seventh round. They took really nailed him for his size.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we've seen a lot of smaller cornerbacks do a really good job and not have their size too affected. But here's the reason why I think Daquan is going to find himself getting drafted in the sixth or seventh round. Jim, we saw what he was able to do with the ball in his hands on special teams. You put that guy back there on kickoff return, have him be the punt returner, and the kickoff return, huge change there in the NFL, moving it all the way up and completely changing it so the kickers can either just boot it all the way out of the back of the end zone or give kind of a pooch kick and try to place it on the one-yard line and make that guy return it out. I don't know. If now that returning punts and kicks has become even more lucrative and something to look at, I would take even a closer look at what I think is one of the better punt returners in all of college football last year, and not to mention someone that is absolutely locked down in that slot cornerback nickel position, which many teams, they desperately need that in the NFL. I mean, that is a position that's lacking and it is not easy to play because you have to face those big body tight ends, but also small shifty wide receivers in the slot. So, you know, there's a lot of versatility that you're having to cover. You have to be able to blitz, do a ton of different things and move around. I think Daquan Hardy can do all of that, add his special teams ability on top of that. And we're talking about someone that can make an impact. If I'm a GM, I'm spending a late round pick on him. I don't know. Jim, how do you feel? I mean, I think we're a little biased. We're a big fan of his, but he was a baller.
Well, let me give you my theory on a lot of these things. I think in the NFL draft, they have so much time. They look for reasons to downplay a player. They look for the problem. Kalen King, they're going to look at that speed and say that's the knock against him. They're going to look at Daquan Hardy and say his size, that's the knock on him. And with Daquan Hardy, I think with the size, you don't factor in. Did you see his vertical leap at the combine? He makes up for that size by having elite NBA-type leaping ability. The other theory I want to throw at you with some of these defensive players, especially like we mentioned the defensive ends, at Penn State, the defense was so good, they were not on the field very long because there were three and outs. And because they're so deep, they rotate players. They don't have enough plays to rack up numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I think that if you look at the average number of plays that Chop Robinson would play or Adisa Isaac or Curtis Jacobs, it's probably many fewer plays than players at other schools are getting because of the quality and depth of Penn State's defense.
I think that's a fair assessment. There is a lot, and that's something that Manny said. Hey, we have enough guys that can play, you know, two times over. We have a deep group, and I think there's a lot of times you saw, you know, us putting in a lot earlier in games than we didn't need to, and you know, those kind of blowout games earlier in the season. You know, allowing some of those younger guys to get some playing time, and Coach Franklin's big on building that depth. Does that harm guys a little bit in the stat category and some of the film that they get? Yes, I do think so. But unfortunately, it's hard to worry about all of that at once. So there is that. But hey, Jim, I'm excited to see how these guys fare. These are all our boys, and we're going to cheer them on. They are Penn Staters for life. So I'm really excited to see how they do. And then it should be fun to see how that those top five picks shake out. See where these quarterbacks go. Obviously, Caleb Williams at number one, pretty much a lock. Let's see where the Commanders go. Is it going to be Jaden Daniels, Drake May? J.J. McCarthy has been getting a ton of buzz recently. I'm not on that train. I'm not on the J.J. McCarthy train. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit of a hater, but I think it'll be Jaden Daniels at number two. And see where Marvin Harrison goes. I think the Chargers at five or six. And Jim Harbaugh really likes him. So it should be fun to see how this top 10 kind of shakes out. I think there's only one guarantee, and that's Caleb at one. The rest could go many which ways. Should be a fun draft night.
It will be. Always is, Landon. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th, and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.